Hi, I'm Madonna Guy, and you're here with The Natural Alternative. Welcome. Today, I'm delighted to have Anita Hafmeister. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you, Madonna. It's so wonderful to join you.
Excellent. So I wanted to chat to you because I heard you chatting with Hoodie and John Larder recently. And the comment that they, after a little while, maybe 10 minutes or so, Hoodie said to you, how does it make you feel when people like us say that we're not anti-vaxxers, but this particular vaccine upsets us? And your response was so fantastic that I knew I had to have you on the show. So can you tell people now what your answer was, or how you feel about that anti-vaxxer versus people who don't understand or like the COVID vaccine? How does that make you feel?
Well, it really upset me because of the way they were using it. Like, for the people that have been in our community for years and have chosen not to vaccinate, we've almost taken it as a badge of honour now to be called a crazy anti-vaxxer, because that's what they call us. So we kind of own it now, and we laughingly call ourselves crazy anti-vaxxers at times. But when Hoodie and John Larder were using that term, they were using it to make sure they were disparaging us in a way, like separating themselves from us. They were saying, when they were saying, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, what they meant was, I know all about the COVID stuff. The media's lying about COVID. This vaccine isn't tested. I know all about this vaccine. But don't lump us in with that other group of crazy anti-vaxxers that talk about the other vaccines and talk about injured kids and dead kids. We're certainly not with them. Like, they are crazy anti-vaxxers. So they were really making a distinction that they really didn't want anything to do with our community. It was all about COVID. So
yes,
that's why I got upset, because it was really taking a dig at people who've been fighting this fight for decades, you know, been
exactly
fighting this medical freedom fright that they've all just jumped on. Talk about holding the line. Gosh, Meryl and people like you, you know, you invented the line. You've been holding the line the whole time. So I just, you know, it's the least of the slights, I guess, our community has suffered. I mean, you think of all the abuse we have suffered, but it just, they can do better and they should know better. And I think they do know better. And that's why it annoyed me too. I think they knew more than that. And yeah, so I rather strongly pointed that out to them, and I think they took it on board.
Absolutely. I have heard them introducing themselves differently since then. So well done, Anita. And you worked with the AVN for a long time, the Australian Vaccination Network, for a long time. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I joined the committee in 2014. I had been a member since 2005, and I'd bought all the books. And I'd often, you know, every time Meryl would say, look, we need a letter writing campaign to a minister or something, I would always do that. Anything like that, I would always help out. I'd volunteer behind the scenes if I could. And then in 2014, I joined the official committee. And that was a whirlwind, because things really picked up from then, because that was sort of the time the Brian Hooker, Dr. Thompson came out, the whistleblower in the US about the mRNA vaccine cover-up. So that was sort of the start of, so that started that.
I think he still works for the CDC. I don't think he's ever been in front of Congress yet.
No, and he was
in like 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, he was given whistleblower protection, but, you know, he doesn't want to end up with, you know, in a river, basically,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, he still plays the game. So when I joined, yeah, there was all that. And then the no jab, no pay legislation was coming in. So that was a huge thing, trying to get a legal case mounted against that. And, you know, all the submissions and the Senate inquiries. And then Vax, the film came out, the documentary, and that was huge, because, you know, we had the tour of Australia with Polly Tommy and Dr. Suzanne Humphreys and Dr. Hooker, and that was huge. That was absolutely huge. And then, you know, we basically got Polly banned from the country for 3 years.
Whereas Kent, Hank and Lively, yeah, wasn't allowed into the country.
He was preemptively banned for hysterically satirical piece that he wrote. It was hilarious.
And it was hilarious. That was to the to one of our ministers.
It was the Prime Minister. Yeah, yes. It was Turnbull. It was personally, and it was all about flying. He was going to fly over Australia and drop copies of Vax out the window. Like, it was hilarious. And he got banned. It was, that's how crazy it was. So, and then I became president in 2019, because Meryl, you know, Tasha had been president and Meryl came back, and then I had a go. And then the Vax 2, the People's Truth, the film came out. So we we toured with that as well, but it was getting really tough. It was getting harder and harder along this road to get venues and to have events of any sort, because a lot of venues just didn't want to have you, and the ones that did, they copped so much abuse. It was just terrible. So yeah, so that got really hard. And then, sorry if I dropped out.
No, hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, well, we'll ignore it. I think it's just some sort of weird, you know, I'm in an artist world. I'm in a dual dimension.
That's awesome. So then we made the hard decision at the start of 2020 to actually get the vax bus. We'd wanted one since 2017, but we knew that was such a huge undertaking, and I mean huge, both financially and physically. But we'd run out of options. We couldn't get venues. The media wasn't covering us in any good light anymore. At least Merrill at one
point. How did that work? You guys bought the bus.
We put out a call to members and said, guys, we want to bid the bus. We think we have to. Well, I basically said we have to have a bus, because I couldn't see any other option of going forward of what we were going to do to raise any sort of awareness or get attention or anything. And we put out the call, and members came forward, and we got the funding. And then Tristan Van Rye was on the committee. He tracked down a bus and, you know, did all the test driving and all that sort of thing. And we organised with Polly, Tommy and that from overseas, like what the wrapping could look like and that, because, you know, they own all the rights to Vax too. So, yeah, we got the bus. And then COVID hit, and we were touring with that bus, when you look back, right at COVID mania. So not only were we hated anti-vaxxers to start with, we were touring when everyone was going to be sick, put apart, and you had to sanitize everything. And it was hilarious, because we just went around those tours and we just hugged everyone. We all just hugged. Our community just hugged it up, because that's what everyone was lacking. And the media, I don't know if you saw, we there was a hit piece on A Current Affair about us.
Yep,
they
I
absolutely
saw it.
Trashed us.
Yep.
The funny thing is, prior to that tour, we did get an email from A Current Affair wanted to come and see the bus and do some filming with the bus and do a story on the bus. And we said, sure. We laid out our conditions of that, and we said, sure. And we never heard back. So whoever was the top producer of that obviously decided not to come and meet with us, and instead they just did that pure absolute hit job on us, which we didn't even know about until it was airing on television. Because this is the funniest part, Madonna. We started getting all these messages from people going, you're going to be on A Current Affair tonight. We've seen the ads. And the funny thing was, nobody on our committee had a television. So we wondered how we were going to watch it.
That's awesome.
I had to go up to my mother-in-law's house to watch it, because none of us had TV. So that's funny. So that's what they resorted to. But, you know, we were happy with that coverage, though, because they put a big shot of the bus. They put a big screen grab of Vax 1 and Vax 2. And, I mean, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars of advertising that you're just not even allowed to get. So,
yeah.
I mean, at A Current Affair, it's not really our demographic anyway, to be honest.
No, but let's face it. Yes, exactly. The poor little sheeple who watch that don't have a clue.
Yeah, although it does impact people, because when we had the bus in Roma, somebody drove past the bus and took a photo and then put it on the local Facebook community page. And, you know, there were all sorts of horrible comments like, oh, next minute bus catches fire and all that stuff. But there was a big diatribe saying, oh, I saw this bus on A Current Affair and they're hideous and this is all the stuff they do. So it did have an effect on some people.
Yeah, right.
Not the right people, but it had an effect on some people.
Mm. No, it's pretty awful, isn't it? And with, you know, like I heard one, who's the ex-UK Prime Minister who's at Davos at the moment, who said yesterday that all anti-vaxxers worldwide there needs to be a code, or we need to know who they are.
Oh, is that Blair? Was it Blair? Tony Blair?
Yes. Yeah, so he had a delightful speech about how people need to know, because these people can't be allowed to travel around and, you know, use the globe. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, they're losing, though. That's what I find fun. They're losing, because at the end of 2019, I don't know if you remember, there was that World Health Organization meeting where they all were talking about how they're losing very fast to the anti-vaxxers and, you know, the stuff these anti-vaxxers...
And the doctors didn't believe their own vaccine. They were losing doctors from vaccination, not just normal people, but doctors, yes.
Doctors, yes. And they were saying what we were talking about wasn't even misinformation. So without censorship, how are they going to stop us? And it was funny because, you know, a few months later and the COVID hit, and then yeah, all their plans just came in. So you could feel that momentum, and then the whole COVID thing happened, and you're just like, wow. You had to sit back and applaud them, because
it was impressive.
Buttons. Oh, from a purely morbid psychological viewpoint, it's been awesome. You know, they're just sitting back and laughing, and they press the next button, and then people do whatever, and they press the next button, and it's disgusting, but just really insightful of how much control they have of people. And, you know, I always did used to wonder, you know, in history how the atrocities happen and how the government's got people on board. It's not even hard.
No, we're watching it. We're watching it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
interesting.
I was really lucky because I did my thesis, joined Merrill's newsletter going back 30 years ago. I did my thesis on vaccination before I started 29 years ago. And my son, he was actually at a Catholic school. And in grade 8, they were told they could do an assignment on absolutely anything they wanted. So he put together his proposal for vaccinations. They said, no, can't do that. He's 36 now. So he would have, you know, so you sort of think that's 20 years ago. They were already, you know, stopping kids from even having another perspective.
Yeah, before it was completely taboo. I mean, it was never happy. They were never happy with it, but it wasn't like it just got completely, you couldn't talk about it, discuss it, anything in the end.
Yes. Yeah. And it's been real challenging because when you listen to so much information, I'm sure you hit the same spot sometimes where you've got so much information and you say, well, does COVID exist or doesn't it? I know coronaviruses have had gain of function, but is that the one out there in the thing? Because we know PCRs and rats don't exist. So what are people getting sick from? Is it 5G? Is it actually a virus, or are they exactly the same symptoms? What is it?
Well, I haven't believed in virology for over a decade since I read Fear of the Invisible by Janine Roberts. So I've always, well, for me, it's always been a con because I think the germ theory is garbage. I think virology is garbage. So to me, and yeah, but people want simple. That's from Madonna. People want, well, if it's not a virus, what is it? And you go, well, that's nuance. And people don't like nuance. They want,
no, they don't.
It's a definite thing. Yeah, like it's different for everyone, and nobody wants that answer. They want the one simple thing, and then they can keep going on with their lives. It's like, nah, you got to think more than that, people. It's more complex than that. And that's what people struggle with. Yeah.
And back in 2018, Wuhan in China was aiming to have about 300-400 5G towers. In 2019, they upped it to about 1,000. By the time COVID hit Wuhan at the beginning of 2020, they had 10,000 5G towers operational. All of China had been vaccinated for the flu. For the first time ever, they had a 100% vaccination policy for the flu in 2019. So all of their immune systems were weakened. There's been studies in the US and Japan over the last 20 years where we're 4.2 times more likely to develop a lung infection or whatever, a lung challenge, if we've had a flu vaccine within the previous 9 months. So once again, you put all this together and you go, well, yes, what is it? It's not so easy.
All the pollution in China too. I mean, just everything in China. I'm never amazed how sick people are. I'm always amazed how functional and well most of us are. That's what amazes me. How forgiving is our body that you can do all this? Like even with the childhood back schedule, I'm not amazed kids are sick. I'm amazed how many function with all that in them. Like it's truly amazing how much your body tries to cope with all this stuff.
Yes. Because I heard with an interview I did with Arthur Furstenberg recently, he's been researching EMFs, Wi-Fi, 5G for 40 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a very cool interview. So he was saying that we now have over 70,000 satellites in the sky. There's applications for 430,000 so far. We now have cell towers on the ocean floor. It's actually messing with the radars in dolphins and whale brains. And one guy, not Arthur, but someone else was saying that because some brains are so small, you know, we're like in a 3 week period, my hubby and I saw two birds simply just sitting down, unable to fly. Jay picked them both up and took them to different vets. And another day we're driving along and a bird just fell out of the sky. This just doesn't happen normally. So these poor birds with their little brains, they don't cope with the amount of EMFs and radiation and 5G going on.
Yeah, it's like when you see where the towers are and there's like dead trees next to them and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's just, it's not right.
No. No, and someone was pointing out due to climate change, you know, the Rocky Mountains in Canada with these strips of dead trees. Like it's not just one here and there the way it probably would be naturally, but there's these strips of dead trees. Think, well, what's that going on there?
Yeah,
Yes.
I noticed when I go into like civilization now with all the 5G. I know, especially in Melbourne a few years ago when we went to Melbourne and there was just 5G everywhere. It does something to me. You can feel it. Like I can't wait to get out back in the bush. And I don't know that I can feel it is all I can say. Like it's definitely doing something to people.
Yeah. And I asked Arthur because I sort of suggested to him that he might just be one of the canaries, you know, who really suffered. Because the reason he got into it, I don't know whether you've heard his story, but in the late 70s, he had a root canal done. And somewhere as part of the root canal, for a start, that gave him head to toe pain. But as part of that, he had 40 or 50 x-rays. And during one of the x-rays, he felt his brain inflame. And basically, him and his girlfriend, they moved out into the bush. They turned the electricity off as soon as they didn't need anything, and they turned it on as late as they could in the morning. And over a period of 9 months, he was able to go out there into the world again. But when he was out in the world, he could feel every machine. And then when he was in second year med school, he was doing a pediatrics rotation. And during that, he had a heart attack. And he knew at the time that it was really because of all the machinery in there, because after that, for 3 years, he could feel every machine around him. So he has been researching. He never finished med school, obviously. He went into IT and computer sciences, but he has been looking at the whole, it's been 4 decades now of research. Do I have the book? No, I don't have it here, but The
That's
Invisible
the rainbow
Rainbow.
one.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I mean. I've got that book, but I don't know that I've read. Is his story in that? I'm trying to remember. It's been a while since
Yeah,
I've read it.
I don't know. I know it from the interview. But he's such a good guy, and he doesn't believe in conspiracy theories, which is sort of interesting. And I had to, before we started, I said, what's off topic for us? And he said, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. And I said, can I ask which ones? I just have to
You have to
know.
narrow that down. I don't
Yeah.
know how many my theories anymore, Madonna. Most of them
I
come
know.
true.
The two that he said that he didn't believe in were chemtrails, and he believes in climate change and he doesn't believe in chemtrails. And I thought, okay, we just won't go there because don't agree
Well,
with you on
that's
either of those. We'll just leave those alone. Yeah.
everyone's at it in a different place, hey? That's what's been so interesting on this. And it's been interesting what has brought people to different things. Like even in our community, it's been interesting the people who stood up to all the COVID garbage and those, you know, that gave in and like the newbies that have stood up. And I don't know, it's just been so fascinating psychologically for me. It really
It has
has.
been.
Just what you've read about people and yourself. Like I've totally grown, I guess. Well, since my accident, I've just had a lot of lessons in, you know, slowing down and delegating and looking after yourself first and
Yeah.
foremost. Because if
And
you're
I think
walking
that's
on
the
the edge of
only
an
thing we
epidemic.
can do. I spoke briefly at a little meeting on Saturday afternoon, and because it was a detoxification product. So I sort of talked about, you know, it's not just one thing these days. When we're looking at the damage going on inside us, we have to look at the heart, we have to look at the brain, we have to look at the neurology of the body, we have to look at the epithelial and endothelial systems. But mostly we need to look at that person in front of us and think, what symptoms do you have? Because this stuff is affecting people in different ways. You know, we've all got that. Did you get your childhood vaccines?
Yes, I did, which at
Yeah.
the time was not very many at all, but yes, I did get them. Yeah.
Yeah, so by the time I was about 16, 17, 18 or something, I had a low level, I can't complain, but I had a low level fibromyalgia, and I did for like 10 years or something. And when I started naturopathy, that was sort of part of my thing. Well, how do I get rid of this? So I'm not scared of natural therapies. I'll take horse doses of things and see if things work. And once a month, I'd wake up without pain and I'd think, gee, what did I do yesterday? And it wasn't until I started detoxing. At the time, it was a purified zeolite. And then I started waking up without pain. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. And I sort of suspect, you know, because we've now got all of this, like it's almost Elena Freeland. Have you come across her yet? She wrote a book called Geoengineered Transhumanism. There's an awesome interview with her and Dr. Anna Mahalsia on her Substack. It's about maybe 2 weeks ago, I think. And she wrote a book, Geoengineered Transhumanism. And she wrote her first book back in the 80s, which was on chemtrails, and just outlined all of the research that was already out there then. And ever since then, of course, oh, hello, here I go again, doing my Andy Warhol thing. Wonder what's going on there. Anyway, whatever. So she started to look at all of the other stuff. So she is just a dynamo. And this book has got so many references and quotes from the elites around the world about what they want to do with our brains, what they want to do with our bodies, how they intend on moving us forward. Like it's great reading it. I sort of just open up a page occasionally and just read it just for fun. But the interview is awesome. Yeah. Dr. Anna Mahalsia. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, Don. It's keeping up with things. Like the worst, I guess the blessing and the curse of COVID is now people send you so much stuff, and it's, you know, you have to get that point of there is only so many hours in the day that I can devote to this. I have to reach the point
where
there's a cutoff. And, you know, you just watch your, I've come to like, I've got my core things. But then, like you said, there's so many other interesting people, like, and you'll go down that road as well. So,
yeah.
That's been my struggle is keeping a balance between, you know, functioning and keeping up with information and, you know, just doing the best you can because, you know, it's people need to pat themselves on the back because the last, it's 3 years now of this madness. So, you know, I think we've all done pretty well under, you know, extreme circumstances to come out the other side of this as well as we have.
Yeah, we haven't gone mad yet.
Well, not all the way.
Well, it's sort of funny because I sort of, you know, there's all those memes about oscillating between, oh my God, we're going to win, you know, the angels and we're going to be taken care of. Holy crap, the world's falling to shit. You know, so it's such an oscillating thing a lot of the time. And probably lucky as a naturopath kinesiologist because I get like an hour with people and most of my clients are awake. And because of that, I get to chat to people for an hour at a time, you know, about this stuff. So I'm very lucky, you know, as you can feel, I like an audience.
Yeah.
What have you seen working with AVN? If people are still thinking that the old vaccines, there's nothing wrong with them, tell me a little bit about what you have seen firsthand.
I have seen horrors that you don't even want to know. Actually, it was interesting when I had my accident, my chiro said, I think your body's telling you it's seen things it doesn't want to see. And it's kind of like that when you go out the bus and we expected to see injury. We you know, we'd seen the American bus. You know what you're expecting. But it just shocked us, the amount of injury from every vaccine you could name, at every age you could name, and every horrible ailment you could possibly see. That's what we saw. And it was just endless. And, you know, for everyone that came to the bus and told their story, they'd tell you, oh, I've got, you know, 3-4 friends that wish they could have come and told their story today. You know, and it's just, you know, you see the most horrifically injured kids, you know, the Gardasil vaccine, the amount of young women we saw who were just, horrifically injured. We had one day in Redcliffe that was just horror from back to back to back, from start to after dark. And it was just all horrendous stories. That's actually the day that the Current Affair did the hit piece on us about, was that day. And we're like, we should have been on our bus. No, no vaccines ever for anyone. That's where I've ended up because, you know, and none of these vaccine injuries that we talk to, you ask them, where's this reported? No. So these aren't even the reported injuries. And, you know, these people have gone through so much. And even the ones trying to heal their kids of damage, you know, they spend tens of thousands of dollars and some of them don't get any results. Some do, luckily, but some don't. And, you know, I always say if people just spent a day on the bus, you know, this all this vaccine craziness goes away because they're real people with real stories and they stay with you. And what's so hard is you can't fix it for them. You can't make anything better. There's no justice. Like even if vaccines disappear tomorrow, these families still live these horrendous lives and these kids, you know, they just suffer. They just suffer all the time. You know, these kids that have seizures all day, some of them, you know, every day nearly. Like it's just, it's just endless. Like my Facebook feed, and it's not all Australian friends, it's American friends, but my Facebook feed, I mean, I try to put some nice stuff in there, but there's always, it's always someone's memorial of their dead kid dying today, or, oh, please pray for me. He had a grand mal seizure this morning and he fell in the bathtub and now we're in hospital because, you know, he's going to get pneumonia because he's got water in his lungs. And, you know, or, you know, my kid took off running today and we had to go find him and it was horrifying. And, you know, that's just, I mean, I know I get the biased end of that, but they exist. And we're told they don't exist and it doesn't happen. You know, that's this one in a million thing. I'm like, no, it's everywhere. And that was what was shocking too, was when you get out even to little towns, it's everywhere. Like I'm from a tiny, tiny town. There's about 400 people. And I know of two people that had siblings die from vaccines in childhood. And, you know, that's 2 in 400. And that's the one that talks to you. So, you know, it's mind-boggling how not rare it is. And now that the conversation has opened up, it's everywhere. Because I tell you, in Canberra, we took the vax bus to the Canberra protest. And when people are open, when they come to that bus open, usually when we drive around the bus, people are ready to spit at you and hate on you. The people in Canberra were already open. So when they come up to the bus and they see all the signatures and they say, oh, is this from the COVID vaccines? You say, no, actually, which at that point in time, it wasn't COVID vaccines on the bus. They'd say, is this the COVID vaccines? You say, no, this is from all the other vaccines. And you could point to the name and say the baby's name and say the baby's story. Or you could point to a man that died from the flu vaccine and say his story. And when the penny drops, oh my gosh, you can feel their anguish of the penny dropping. And then the amount of them that then realize they have a vaccine injured child. That was stunning.
Yes, absolutely.
That was stunning. Mm.
Yeah, I had a lady a little while ago and she has two vax damaged children, a son and a daughter. They're both quite little, maybe 6 and 8, something like that. And I was running the bioresonance on them and they eat organic food. She just spends a bomb. Her husband works to feed them and so that they can have the best life they can possibly have. And she tries all sorts of natural things on them to try to give them a better quality of life. When I did the bioresonance, there was heaps of silver, heaps of aluminium. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, chemtrails, you know, sort of it was like the right little combination. She said, how are all these heavy metals in there? Because they don't eat normal food. And I said, sweetie, I said, this is coming from everywhere. The air we're breathing has got toxins. So, yes, we're injecting it in with. But then she had realized that both of her children were jab damaged, but it was way too late. She'd had a miscarriage as well. And it was only through one of her natural therapists that she was chatting to that the penny finally dropped and she thought, holy crap, what have I done? So she is, she's working her life now to make her children have the best life possible, poor little darlings. But, yeah, it is awful seeing that look in someone's eye when they've actually gotten it. But then that confusion about what if I'm doing the best I can possibly do, it's all we can do. The best we can do, you know, they're trying to change the definition of organic with our meat supplies so that it can include mRNA.
Well, that's not shocking because, I mean, I've been shocked that they've allowed vaccines in organic cattle for years. Not the GMO ones, but they've allowed vaccines in them. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm not surprised. Organic doesn't mean what people think it means.
No, it's nowhere near.
You're better off knowing your farmer and getting your stuff that way.
Exactly. Than being
organic. Yeah.
And that's what I keep telling my clients. Get to know your farmer, get to know your butcher, find out who they are, ring them up, have a chat to them, see how awake they are, because they might be thinking they're doing a good thing. It was Elena Freeland, I think. You know, there was that 80,000 cattle that died magically one day over in Kansas last year.
Yeah, I was saying it was heat and all those things.
Heat. Mm. Climate change, of course it was. But they had just been vaccinated, but then they also simultaneously released a bunch of 5G in the area. So it was sort of like there was Elena Freeland who was saying that it seemed to be a combination of them, the mRNA.
Well, feedlot cattle are already vaccinated up the wazoo. They're full of hormones, they're full of antibiotics. Like it wouldn't take much to tip feedlot cattle over the edge, to be honest, because it's not the way the cattle are supposed to live. It's horrendous, especially in the States. It's nearly all grain fed and their facilities are huge. And you can just imagine the smell and the conditions. And it's just, It's just not good. It's just not good. Like, yeah. I love beef, but grass-fed beef, people. Know your farmer and eat grass-fed beef. Like, and yeah. I'm a beef producer, and that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. And with because people think Wagyu is really healthy, and I say they're diabetic cows. That's why they're so fatty.
They're fed grain for 400 days. Okay, most of your grain-fed beef gets 100-day grain-fed. Wagyu's a minimum 400-day. So imagine the amount of toxins and everything, and that all goes to your fat. So you imagine what they're fed for 400 days, and every bit of toxin or something is going into their fat storage, and that's what you're eating. Like, I know it's really delicious and all those things, but, you know, that's what you're eating, 400-day grain-fed beef.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I did hear this morning that in Davos, they brought over kilo steaks, you know, $400 steaks from Japan in for the Davos people who want us all eating caterpillars and grasshoppers and things like that.
They must have ran out of crickets or something.
I heard that the European Union has just approved house grasshoppers for 11 major food items. It's just going crazy. And Edinburgh is the first woke city in the world who isn't allowing meat to be delivered from the tuck shops. So Edinburgh's gone.
They're starving kids as well. Yeah, not that they ever fed kids well at school, but now they're just flat out starving them. Yeah, I know. It's all coming ahead though. Like, there's just so two different worlds now. That's what's interesting. Like, you're either on narrative or you're not. There's not a lot in the middle now. And it's just these two worlds are going to just collide at some point. It's got to get bad. It's got to get that bad for more people to get it. So, you know, it's as bad as it is. It's like, well, it's got to.
Some people still don't get it. Some people still are not getting it. No. I was having a climate change argument with a friend of mine recently. And she said about the world being overpopulated, how we had to depopulate, the only thing moving forward was electric cars. And I said, well, Klaus Schwab reckons we need about 4 billion electric cars before we start evening the playing field compared to coal cars. And you go, 4 billion? Do we even have 4 billion cars on the planet at the moment? That seems like a hell of a lot of cars.
Seems like a lot of cars, yeah. And was your friend volunteering to go first on the depopulation? That's what
it
sounds
like. I said to her, I couldn't help her. I said, well, you'll be happy to know our excess death rate is up by 16%. Live births are down by 5 to 20% across the Western world. And we have the equivalent of a aeroplane dropping from the sky every week here in Australia. So, you know, and our miscarriage rate is up at 82%. What more do you want? Got to be happy with that. I know, and that's always the question I want to ask is, well, are you going to offer yourself or your child or your mother? Who are you going to say should be the first out the door with the population?
Or even, okay, stop using electricity, give up your car. You know, it's always they want someone, unnamed person somewhere continents away to pay for all this stuff instead of being the change that they really desperately want to see. Well, you know, turn off your aircon, give up your phone, go live in the woods. You can do that. But no.
So what do you think about climate change?
Oh, I think it's all made up garbage like the rest of it. Yeah. I mean, anytime it's all over the news and there's someone making money out of it somewhere. I mean, there are a lot of things in the world that are really bad and dangerous and not one of them gets discussed on the mainstream media. Not one of them. That's true. So if it's on the mainstream media, there's an agenda, someone's making money or someone in power is working for. So, you know, and I have read a lot of the climate change books, like, on both sides. And, yeah, you know, like, the climate has changed a lot, you know, depending what history you believe too. This is the thing. What do you believe anymore? But, you know, there's always been huge fluctuations. And even the fluctuations they're so worried about are so minimal in the scheme of things. Why you've got to kill half the planet and destroy everyone for this minimal change anyway? It's not even like they're saying it's this massive change. It's a fairly minimal bloody rise in temperature they're talking about. So it's like, wow, you really want to destroy everyone for that. It's And, you know, it's like, and as like a lot of the experts say, the poor are going to suffer first. You know, the poor need cheap energy and they don't want to have it any worse. They actually love electricity and hot water. The problem in Australia, and my dad always used to say this, Australians have had it too good. Australians have never starved. Because the moment you've gone through that, you know, you appreciate things, you fight for them, you don't just give them up. You know, just turning on a light and having electricity. Wow. Turning on the shower and there's water. and there's hot water. Wow. Like, people just take everything for granted. And, you know, that's why they're happy to walk you off the cliff, because they have no concept of not having those things. You know, I've grown up with parents, like my mum, they didn't even have electricity where she was till the 60s. She grew up until her teenage years without electricity. You know, and you know, they had to cart water and these things. Like, it's Kelly, my husband's grandmother still lives on the property here. She's 101. You know, they grew up with nothing. They grew all their own food. They had no power, no nothing. They just had sheer hard work, and it was tough. But people have no concept of that. And that's, you know, they're going to get a mass awakening in that soon if they don't wake up to themselves, because, you know, this they are trying to bring this stuff in.
Yeah, my mum's the same. Whenever anything would come up on Facebook, I think she actually died from shedding, looking back, like about 18 months ago.
Yeah, I remember when she passed. It was really sad.
Yeah, so it was sort of very interesting, because that day she would have hugged 50 people at a freedom rally. She had a stroke that night. Like, in the last week alone, one of my good friends, his 28-year-old nephews, died of an aneurysm. And one of my clients, his 13-year-old nephews, just died in his sleep. And one of my little 14-year-old second cousins had a heart operation. So that was all in the last week. Like, it's just crazy. And now at least people like Peter McCullough are talking about shedding. And Karen Kingston, you've listened to Karen Kingston a bit? She's amazing. Yeah. She's a whistleblower about patents that are within these vaccines. And she says that the spike protein is classed as a device in the patents.
Oh, wow.
So what when we awesome. Hear people yeah. like, what's his name? Sukarat Bhakti. So when he talks about things like, you know, when he's got pictures of the spike proteins being in the brain causing aneurysms and strokes. And I thought, how could one spike protein cause an aneurysm or stroke? But if you actually think of it as a bioweapon that then can be affected by 5G, 4G, mobile phones, EMFs, it sort of means that if it's sitting in the cardiac sac or if it's sitting in the blood-brain barrier, potentially it's got the ability for rupture at any moment. So it's, anyway, it's a very interesting time to be alive. And I'm working with some people who are really trying to come up with solutions for all of this as well, and dissolve these sort of things.
And the hard part is, how do we know if they're telling the truth about what's in them? I remember when
I'm sure they're not.
You know, they've analysed the old vaccines for years, and they find so many things in them that they are unidentifiable. They don't know. They're not proteins. Of all the things they know in a lab, they're like, there's this list of things we don't even know what they are.
Yes.
So, you know, they only tell you some of the things that are in there. And, I mean, they could change batches. Like, who knows? That's the thing. I just don't trust them on anything they do about anything. And that's what's hard. Like, it's one thing when you know what you're dealing with. It's another when you don't even know what you're taking on. Like, that's what's terrible about it.
Yes. And I do even wonder whether even the heavy metal thing, which I've understood for a long time, that the flu jab, for example, is about 50% mercury by weight. Our childhood vaccines are about 50% aluminium. But there's a guy in a science group I'm part of, Matt Taylor, and he's been interviewed by Stu Peters, and he's been interviewed lots, Maria Z. And he's down in Ecuador because he's frightened for his life. And he's an electrical engineer, and he does live blood microscopy. So he's been putting the vaccines under microscopes to see what he's finding. He's also put dental anesthetic under there. He's also put the masks under there. He's also put things from the PCRs and the rats, and he's found the same sort of things in all of them. He's found Morgellons, he's found parasites, he's found just all sorts of delightful things. So if we're then breathing in these masks all day, every day, not only are we incubating whatever we've got going on in here, but we're also breathing in some really narky things. You know, I've seen this microscopy. He's taken video footage of it. It's really, so that's not even talking about the normal stuff, exactly like you say. We're not talking normal times at the moment. They are absolutely lying about what's in them.
Well, and we know they've found parasites in vaccines before and things. You know, like, that's the thing. It's just, do you trust these people to even tell you what's in them? I don't. I wouldn't trust them as far as I can throw them. So, you know, it's just, yeah, who knows? But, yeah, it's, but the damage right now is just escalating so much. We had a we had a sudden death in our community here last week, and there won't be a funeral for a while because, of course, there's got to be an autopsy. She wasn't a young
person. Are they doing an autopsy?
They are. Well, she died suddenly. And she's a narrative following backed up the wazoo. But, you know, I'd be really interesting to see what they say or come back with. I don't know. But it's just really ramped up just this last 2 weeks, even, you know, with the deaths and stuff. It's quite creepy when you go back to that Bill Gates interview where he's going, well, we won't really know, you know, the full effects of this for a couple of years or so. And, oh, it just makes my skin crawl because it's just escalating rapidly now.
Absolutely. There was an interview with astronomer, biophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson last week. He was interviewed
and
but one of the smartest people alive. He's such a lefty, he couldn't lie to save himself. It was really interesting hearing him say, we have to trust the science. This is what all the checks and balances are for.
The public contract.
That's creepy.
Yeah. But see, once they're on narrative, they just have to ride the narrative to the ground because that's who they are. And it's interesting to watch them come completely unstuck, though. Like, they get so emotional and so, you know, they're so flustered about it because they know they're wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, but people are dying. You know, it's people are dying every day. And
yes.
It's just, you know, if people were out there with machine guns mowing people down, it would get attention. But because people are dying randomly all over the place, it's fine. It's like with the babies for years. You know, if you saw the babies getting shot somewhere, you'd say something. But because it's, you know, houses all over the place and, you know, the parents will get gaslit and told to shut up, you'll never know about it. It's the same thing. It's just, it's creepier than war. It's creepier, far creepier.
It's really awful.
At least when you're on a front line shooting at someone, you're acknowledging that situation exists. As it is, you know, it's just this soft kill, as they've always called it. It's the soft kill with vaccines, and it's just so creepy.
And you heard about that law that was passed here in Queensland last week? So they put it before Parliament in October last year. It has just been passed. Oh, no, it was last week, maybe Wednesday, that now means that doctors, but they have included other health professionals, if doctors speak out against the health minister's edicts, they can get 3 years in jail and $30,000 fine. So when you are asking your doctors for their opinion, they're not giving their opinion. Unless you know your doctor very, very well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust a doctor these days.
Although I go, most of the ones left in the system are narrative following sycophants anyway, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's not many good doctors and good nurses left. Like, to me, that just brings that system crashing to the ground a bit quicker because it's obvious to people that your doctor's owned now. So, you know, I think the medical system's been up to for years and years and years. So I know that sounds bad. You think, oh, these poor doctors can't speak out. They haven't spoke out yet. They deserve what's coming to them, to be honest.
Because, you
know, enough. I've had enough.
Yeah. I have a cousin and a brother who are doctors. And they are both fully with the agenda still. It's phenomenal to watch. On Christmas Day, my brother was asked by my cousin what he thought of all of the increase in myocarditis and pericarditis. She didn't say deaths. She said cases. And he said, well, doctors are so scared of being sued that they would rather call something pericarditis and myocarditis rather than what it actually is, which is anxiety.
Oh my gosh, that came out of his mouth. Wow.
Luckily, I had just enough wine so that I didn't hit him over the head with a baseball bat. So I, but yeah,
they're calling most of it anxiety anyway. That's the thing. You see all these people with chip planes, it's all anxiety. Very few are actually getting a proper diagnosis. So that's astounding. But see, it's what you tell yourself. You know, that's
30 years of indoctrination.
What people tell themselves. Yep.
Yes. So do you think we're winning? Do you think the good side's winning?
I actually do. And, you know, I had some pretty dark times over this. 2020 was horrible because it was just that horrible waiting.
Yes.
So we knew people were probably going to wake up, but it was that horrible, horrible waiting time. 2021, I was pretty sad about it all. And then about halfway through last year, I started to get positive because there are so many people standing up and speaking up. And when you see the way the media is starting to have to flip and deflect and So I don't know when their next hammer blow comes down. It's going to have to soon, whatever it is, because I do feel a massive change in energy right now. I think it's huge. And, you know, people always go, oh, why can't you all be unified in the freedom movement? A, you're never going to. That's people. But B, I actually like all these different people doing all their different thing. I love a million mosquitoes in the room. Like, whatever it is you're going to do, you do it. You don't have to be part of this group or that group. As long as you're doing your thing, go for it. Because it's like herding cats to get people this strong and this motivated all on one page. Believe me. I've been in this movement long enough to know that. But as long as everyone is doing their thing and speaking out and you know, it's been empowering, Madonna, is seeing people step into that power. They've been so scared and so, oh, my God, I can't speak. And then they speak out and speak their truth. And that gets a bit addictive. I know. I can attest for that. You start speaking your truth and you'll just start, you know, you'll just start speaking it more and more and more. And that's what's been really cool probably the last 6 months is seeing all these new leaders just giving it to the establishment. It's bloody beautiful. It's all our wildest dreams come true in a way.
It sort of is, isn't it? And if Elon keeps going, you know, with Twitter, releasing all the Twitter files and everything, which he's doing, like he's...
Well, see, I don't know if I fully trust Elon, but...
I don't trust Elon either.
If he's bringing that out, like everyone's bringing a bit of stuff out and it's great. I'll tell you actually the funniest part from Canberra. This is hilarious. So Meryl and I went down on the bus to Canberra and in Camp Epic, we were parked like right on the main sort of road because we were the bus. We're like in the main part of camp. And that first night, we were all exhausted. It'd been a long drive, lots of traveling. And, of course, all night, cars just streamed in all night. And there's people at the gate cheering. So there's beep, beep, and cheers, and beep, beep, and cheers. And Meryl and I were so exhausted. We're laying in bed going, oh, my God, but all you crazy anti-vaxxers, shut up. Every one of our wildest dreams had come true. And we were laying there going, okay, we're over it now. It was hilarious.
That is good. That is good. Well, I sort of, one of the questions I heard Maria Z ask Dr. Chicky Baby came out about, oh, God, what is her name? Rima Labo, Dr. Rima Labo. She's the one who came out about Codex about 20 years ago. And she also came out about, she had some elite-y Chicky Babe who was seeing her about 20 years ago and started talking about the Great Culling. It was nearly time for the Great Culling. And she sort of said that, you know, one of, and her husband was taken out. He was, you know, he was a general and he was taken out because they were whistleblowing and it was supposed to keep her quiet. And I tell you what, she lives in the hills in Arizona. She's got dogs. She's got a gun. She said, if anyone comes on my property, I want to be the one who survives. And yeah, she's a bloody dynamo. I think she's 79 years old, but she was telling this story about how she was talking about the people in our industry and how we don't get together and do stuff together. And she was saying one of the problems with it, though, is that we think too much and we sort of always hope that someone else is going to do everything, whereas we really do. And I don't know whether petitions work. I don't know whether writing to senators work. I know it does with the good ones, you know, Alex Antic and Senator Roberts and Pauline and, you know, the little handful of guys, Jared Rennick, but, you know, you do believe in people doing all of those things, signing things, writing letters.
I look at it this way. If you're only going to watch Netflix or some YouTube video for an hour a day and it'll take you 30 seconds to sign a petition or 5 minutes to just, it doesn't have to be a long letter, just a letter, why not do it?
Yeah.
And, you know, if everyone did it, that would be a good thing. And also, I'm big on energy. I'm big on intent. You've put your intent out there. And I mean, I don't know these people that bow down to politicians and stuff. I certainly don't write to mine like that. I'm like, hi, David, my local member. This is what I think, you know, you should be doing. Like they serve you in theory. So, you know, go with that energy. I'm big on intention. So whatever you're doing, go with that intention of your, I mean, gosh, we're the little engine that could at the AVN. We're a little scrappy group of volunteers. And the things we've done in the last decade are just insane when I look back on them. Insane. Awesome. You know, when we had Polly over on that tour, which was awesome, we did not announce her coming because we knew it was going to happen. But, you know, we got to mention at the COAG meeting because that was when COAG was still meeting. So on that tour, COAG actually wasn't on their agenda, but they made a point of stopping and saying, you know, we're all disgusting human beings and all that stuff. But, you know, we got that attention, this little group of whoever we were, you know, so never doubt that you actually can do something, because if you just put your mind to it, do it and go with the intention of, bugger it, this is, and that's where my intention has been lately, this is all resolving. I don't know what it resolves into, but all this stuff is coming out. And, you know, where what happens then, I haven't put much attention towards that yet, but it's all bubbling out. It's all coming out. And, you know, even the poor old normies are going to have to acknowledge a lot of these deaths and stuff soon, which is awful, but, you know, it's got to happen.
Yes. Yes. So how do people subscribe to the AVN? What's the current website?
The website is avn.org.au. And, yeah, if you can go into the shop there and you can buy memberships and books and DVDs and all the things. So, yeah.
Yeah, by buying there, we're supporting you guys. Yeah, yeah. What a dynamo.
There's a bus tour to Tassie coming up. I think Merrill leaves in a week with the bus for Tassie, and they're actually meeting up with Hoodie in the middle of that, so that'll be great.
Awesome. Well, that's been fabulous. Any final thoughts? I love the fact that you're so positive and everything. I'm hoping you're right, that everything will resolve in some way.
Yeah, well, you know, you just do what you can do, your bit of it. I think don't feel defeated. And, you know, I don't know. We'll only get one go at this, maybe. So, you know, just give it your best. And, you know, it might get ugly. I don't know. But it's actually been not fun. Fun's the wrong word, but it's been interesting. So it's a really interesting time to be alive. It actually is a really interesting time to be on the planet. So
it is.
Do your best and make the most of it.
Yeah. I heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr. say recently, he said, every day you just have to pull yourself up, get through the day, spread the information and keep on going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hardest part for me, and what I've finally learned, you just have to accept that that's someone else's journey. You know, you'd rather they didn't have a hurt kid, or you'd rather they didn't be injured out of it. But at the end of the day, that is their journey. You can only do your part and give it to them, and then try not to own that. Like, you've done your bit. And that's their space, which is hard sometimes, but that's what I've really learned out of all this, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are finding solutions for some of the ingredients with this particular vaccine. The older ones, you know, there's always been different bits and pieces we can do, whether or not it's heavy metal detoxifying and, you know, support and that sort of thing. But this one's challenging. This one's definitely challenging. Like you say, there's so many components to it. And because I'm part of this science group, every Wednesday morning there's between 12 and 20 people from around the planet on it. They've all got their microscopes and electron microscopes, and everyone's showing what they've seen throughout the weeks and arguing over what they're seeing. And it's been very, very interesting. But anyway, Dr. David Nixon, he's speaking in Narang in a few weeks with Dr. Billy Bay. So I can't remember. It's the week that Peter McCullough is speaking. Peter McCullough's who'd you mention? Corey, yeah. Dr. Corey.
Dr. Pierre Corey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they're up at Sunshine Coast and Gold Coast in 2 weeks, I think, or 3 weeks or something like that. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Anita. That is just awesome. Nice chewing the fat with you. And
awesome. Yeah.
Keep shining the light.
Will do. Don't know anything else.
Excellent. Okay. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.